feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away.
Breaking news.
And tonight on The Rita Cosby Show, as expected, former President Trump and President Biden have won their respective primary races in the state of New York. Not a big surprise, but it is a done deal, and both immediately projected the winners in their respected states. We're still waiting for results from other states tonight. Again, no mystery in all of those. The one mystery that could be coming is how many of those uncommitted, or in the case of New York, where they don't have an uncommitted line, but they have a blank line showing that you're not supportive of the president, how many of those will be coming in potentially today and also in some of the early voting? Because President Biden sure seems to be flipping and flopping all over the place, especially on Israel. And just a little bit ago, the White House came out and condemned Israel, saying it needs to do a lot more to protect civilians after there was a strike in Gaza that killed 7 aid workers. No mention, of course, by the Biden administration when they accidentally killed a family. Remember in Afghanistan when they said they were going after the bomber responsible for killing 13 U.S. service members at Abbey Gate during the dismal withdrawal of Afghanistan? And then they said, oh, we've got the killer in our sights. And it turned out to be a family in Afghanistan. And remember, they buried the news. So tonight, the Biden administration, however, seems to come out pretty quickly swinging against the Israeli population and especially the Israeli leadership. And that seems to be par for the course with this president, who seems to be flipping and flopping all over the place. Everybody says it's not a two-state solution for this president in terms of Israel and the Palestinian people, but it's a two-state solution on Michigan and Minnesota and places like that. And that is why today, both President Biden and also President Trump were in Michigan. President Trump in Michigan, and he came out swinging, saying that the border crisis, well, it all belongs to President Biden. Take a listen to what President Trump said in the battleground state of Michigan.
This is country changing, it's country threatening, and it's country wrecking. They have wrecked our country. But I stand before you today to declare that Joe Biden's border bloodbath, and that's what it is, it's a bloodbath. They tried to use that term incorrectly on me 2 weeks ago. You know, it's all about misinformation. That's all they do, is cheat on elections and disinformation, misinformation, fairly closely related, those two words. But they basically mean that it's all talk, but it's a border bloodbath, and it's destroying our country. It's a very bad thing happening. It's going to end on the day that I take office, which will be January 20th. It'll end.
And he also said that there is blood on the hands, essentially, of the current occupant of the White House, and pointed to the fact that this president has done nothing. I'm talking about the current one, that he could be doing a whole bunch of things in terms of executive orders and many things. But no, instead, he is just seeming to reverse after every moment that he can President Trump's policies at the border. President Trump also recited a lot of the things that he did, building more than 500 miles of the border wall. Also, remain in Mexico, putting tariffs also on Mexico. Also, ending catch and release. And the list is quite significant in terms of all the different things that he did when he came into office. Also, Title 42, which is the other issue, which, of course, is the health provision that he put in place during COVID. All of these things, President Biden right away said, you know what? We don't need that. We're going to reverse it. And in fact, Mayorkas, who is on the cusp of maybe being impeached next week, or at least symbolically, they're going to walk it over to the Senate. He even bragged about all of the different policies that he reverted that belonged to President Trump. They were mocking President Trump, saying, you know, what, why would he do these? Look how many that we just right on day one changed. And then today, I couldn't believe that the White House actually had the audacity to start blaming Trump and the Republicans for the border crisis, saying that it is a Republican problem, that this is due to the president's policies, the former president's policies. He always says my predecessor. Remember, they don't even want to even use President Trump's name. To me, it is quite incredible and quite stunning. And yet, there seems to be no end in sight, because this is not even really yet the full swing of the campaign season. We're in the throes of it. There's no doubt about it. But if you think it's ugly already today, it's going to get a lot uglier as time goes on. And President Trump also, I give him credit. He's embracing the bloodbath word, because remember, that's what he said when he was in Michigan not that long ago about the auto workers industry. He said, listen, with all these pushes for EV by President Biden and others, it's going to be, quote, a bloodbath for the auto industry. It is, because it would replace the auto industry workers. And that's why, even though the auto industry, a lot of the union leaders are supporting President Biden, the auto industry workers, which is obviously many more than the leadership, most of them are backing President Trump because they understand it. They understand that their jobs are at risk if suddenly these EV mandates that are being put on by President Biden, if they go in place. He understands it. And many of these people understand it. And that's why he keeps saying over and over again, it will be a bloodbath to the industry. But of course, they quoted him, the mainstream media, and said, oh, he's calling for a bloodbath. He's calling for January 6th, which was so crazy. So today, he just kind of stuck it to him, as you heard, and said, you know what? It's a border bloodbath. That's what's going on. And it belongs to President Biden. He owns it. He created it. All he had to do was just keep status quo, but he didn't want to keep status quo. And so that's why he is now saying it over and over again. Yeah, quote, it is a bloodbath. It is a disaster. It is a mess. And it is something that belongs to President Biden. Meantime, he also said, because of what's happening with the border and because of what's happening with crime, also, these EV mandates, like we just talked about, a whole bunch of these things. He said, guess what? Folks, when it comes to November, you have only one choice. Take a listen to what President Trump had to say in Michigan just a little bit ago.
And there's no way you can vote for this guy. I mean, look, I don't want to be too casual about it. There's no way you can vote for this guy. You see what I see. And there's just no way. If he makes it to the starting gate, which I find it hard to believe, but if he does, there's just no way.
If he makes it to the starting gate. And then he said this, which, of course, CNN and MSNBC are saying, President Trump is threatening a January 6th. He's threatening, you know, something happening at the Capitol. No, he's not. Listen to what he said. We all get it, but listen to what he said.
Because if we don't win on November 5th, I think our country is going to cease to exist. It could be the last election we ever have. I actually mean that. We don't win. I think this could be the last election we ever have. That's where our country is going.
And he says the country is falling apart. By the way, if you look at the border and you look at a lot of the things that we're talking about, the country is indeed falling apart, not just domestically, but also internationally. And in the middle of all this, you have RFK Jr. RFK Jr. is now doing decently well in some of the polls. If you look at some of the polls, in fact, in five-way race, if you include in Cornel West and Jill Stein, two other candidates that are in the race, he's actually doing decently well in some states, including Michigan and some other states. He just got on the ballot, by the way, in North Carolina. And RFK Jr. is making a lot of headlines with this particular statement, because he was on CNN and they said, gosh, don't you think that Trump is a threat to democracy? Don't you think that he's like the second coming of Satan? Don't you think he's this? Don't you think he's that? And RFK Jr., to his credit, looked him straight in the eye and he said, no, I actually think Biden is a bigger threat to democracy. Listen to this one.
Listen, I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court. It shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give the access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies.
Weaponizing federal agencies. So there you have it. RFK Jr., a Democrat, lifelong Democrat, part of the Kennedy family, saying that he believes that Biden is a much bigger threat to democracy and stating why. Do you agree? 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go also to Phil in the Bronx. Phil, your thoughts about all of this? The mud is slinging.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked that he came out with that statement, but it's true. Biden is the end all of problems there. He's just not on the on the awareness level of what society requires and what people want in a candidate. The thing is, though, I have to say this, that RFK is not much of a candidate in the polls. In other words, his popularity is very low. We don't even know what his real immigration policy is at this point.
He did say that he's gotten tougher on the border since he went to the border. He said, I did have a policy where I was for more free flow of immigration and migrants coming into the country. And he said, and then I spent time at the border and I realized we got to have a secure border. What we're doing now is not working. And we do have to vet people that it's dangerous. So there were some interesting, it's interesting, Phil, depends on the state, to your point about his impact. But I go back and I think about Ross Perot. Ross Perot handed that presidency to Bill Clinton. He had 19%. And it depends on the poll. But if you look at some of the polls state by state with RFK Jr., it's anywhere from, like I've seen, like 8-9% all the way up at one point. It was 20-21%. And you're still many months away. Who knows, right, Phil? Who knows where this is going?
That's a point, but the thing is, Ross Perot, when people like Ross Perot, and Linda LaRouche and all these other characters, they basically get that what I call the cuckoo vote. Anybody, when you're talking about what they were talking about, it attracts people who are not exactly playing with a 52 deck of cards. But the point is, I think that Trump is very clear on what he wants to do. Biden is doing what he should not be doing. Okay. My whole fear is with the immigration policy. I can tell you this much. This summer, in the major cities across this country, the top 15 cities, we're going to see riots. We're going to see trouble like we couldn't imagine, and the National Guard ain't going to contain it. It's going to be bad news. We need an answer here and now, within the next month or two, of what they're going to do to prepare for this. Because people like Antifa and BLM are going to motivate these people into rioting. That's my belief.
Well, Hey, Phil, did you hear what Trump had said there? That he says that the U.S. will cease to exist if we don't win in November. Now, obviously, it's hyperbole. But do you agree that, if he doesn't win, that the country may not look recognizable? I mean, it's already gone downhill quite a bit in the last few years. Don't you agree?
Well, I could say this much. My impression being, you know, a person with a military background, if Trump loses the election by a considerable margin, it's the end. It is the end of the United States, because what's going to happen is every part of this country is going to break out into some kind of civil war one way or the other. Democrats are going to go nuts. The Republicans are going to go nuts. Everybody's going to pick up a gun, and that's the end of it. It can't. I'm pretty sure Trump will win. I got my chips on Trump. But at the same time, where is the preventative, the policy that's going to say, okay, where are we going into this summer? What are we going to do in these major cities? It's already happening in New York. Okay, it's going to happen in Chicago and California and all across the country.
Well, and by the way, we obviously certainly don't want things to get out of hand, and we certainly don't want individuals to get out of hand. That is for sure. But we also want to make sure our borders are safe. So I understand why people are passionate, but we certainly want to keep things calm. That is 1,000%. 1-800-848-9222. Everybody, we're going to continue your calls after the break.
The Rita Cosby Show. It's the Rita Cosby Show.
Cosby Show, we will be talking to President Trump's former 2020 campaign communications director, Tim Murtaugh, to get his take on the state of the 2024 race. And also, he has an amazing new book out. He's going to tell you all about that and so much more, and give his insights on RFK and Biden. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Al, line four. Al, your thoughts.
Yeah, hi, Rita. You know, Rita, I want to say with Robert Kennedy Jr., to me, I still can't even imagine today that this person of a large family, the Kennedy family, that his father, who was assassinated in 1968, you know, running for president, that he doesn't have Secret Service. I mean, to me, it's unfathomable.
I'm glad you brought that up, Al, because that is disgraceful. And you know the people that assign it? It's the Biden administration. The Biden administration has denied him. And he has also had people break into his home. I'm talking about RFK Jr. That's ridiculous.
Rita Cosby is on. The Rita Cosby Show presents Back to Blue.
And this Back the Blue segment is sponsored by GoyaCares.com, because you are a precious gift from God. And this is a really powerful story coming from Sugar Hill, New Hampshire, where during a recent visit by former Sugar Hill Police Chief Jose Pequeño, Littleton Police Chief Paul Smith presented Chief Pequeño with the 2024 President's Outstanding Service Award on behalf of the New Hampshire Association of Chiefs of Police. Pequeño was hired as Sugar Hill's police chief back in 2002, and as a member of the National Guard, he was deployed to Iraq in 2005. Then in 2006, the community received the news that the chief had been seriously injured when he and two of his fellow soldiers had been ambushed there in Iraq. Well, this would be the second injury for him, because Chief Pequeño's most serious injury occurred when shrapnel entered the lower left hemisphere of his brain, and he sustained injuries to his back and also to his arm. The chief remained in a coma for several months, during which time the wounds to his back and arm were able to heal, but the recovery to his brain is still an ongoing process. To this day, he's still unable to care for himself, and he remains in a hospital requiring around-the-clock care. So the community has been coming together to raise money to help bring him home and to make sure he has round-the-clock care when he does that. First, a local community fundraising drive took place. They raised $25,000 for the Bring Jose Home. And then the Sugar Hill Fire Chief, Alan Clark, spearheaded another one called Bring Jose Home Project that raised over $150,000 to help provide him and his family with a new handicap accessible home. Thanks to financial donations and the volunteer work, there's a new home waiting for Jose when he will hopefully be released from the hospital at any moment. And what a powerful story of the community coming together to honor our great men and women in blue. And also this man who also obviously did so much to the service of our nation. Well, today in Michigan, President Trump was flanked by law enforcement officers as he said, we must bring law and order back to our country. And when he was in Michigan, former President Trump spotlighted the chaos at the border and how Biden's open border policies have wreaked havoc on our nation.
Under crooked Joe Biden, every state is now a border state. Every town is now a border town because Joe Biden has brought the carnage and chaos and killing from all over the world and dumped it straight into our backyards. And people are coming in from prisons and mental institutions, and nobody's ever seen anything like it.
And joining us now to talk about all of this and also RFK's statements that he says that Joe Biden is a bigger threat to democracy because he is censoring RFK and others. Well, this is now somebody who's been there on the front lines of the Trump campaign. He certainly knows very, very much about presidential races. Joining us now is former President Trump's 2024 campaign communications director, Tim Murtaugh, who is also the author of a powerful new book, which just came out a few hours ago. It is a blockbuster book, and you got to read it. It is called Swing Hard, In Case You Miss It, My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. And boy, is it revealing and inspiring on so many levels, too. Tim, really great to have you here on the Rita Cosby Show.
Rita, wow, what an introduction. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm so proud of you, Tim. And Tim, let's first get to the presidential race. What do you make of RFK's statements? Here it is. It's a Kennedy, obviously, long lineage of Democrats. And he is saying that Joe Biden is the biggest threat to democracy right now.
Well, he's right. You know, I mean, I got to say, I think RFK is a pretty impressive guy. If you listen to him talk, I do not think that there's a whole lot for Republicans to like about his candidacy. I mean, he is really out there. He is an environmental extremist, far left, Green New Deal type of guy. And I don't think Republicans really want too much to do with him. But there's a lot for disaffected Democrats to look at. And I think when he's making the accusation that Joe Biden is actually a bigger threat to democracy than anybody else today, I think he's actually right. I mean, if you think about it, censoring any random American whose views that he didn't like on social media about COVID, on Facebook, on Twitter, working with them, putting pressure on and actually badgering the social media companies into censoring American citizens. That's a threat to democracy. That's undermining the First Amendment, controlling people, what people are allowed to say about COVID, trying to put his political opponent in jail, meaning President Trump, trying to have him removed from the ballot in various states. Heck, at the DNC, they have a team going on and working on inside the DNC. Their job is to attack third-party candidates like RFK Jr. to deny people a chance to vote for candidates of their choice. All of these things are assaults on democracy, and using the IRS to go after political opponents, all kinds of stuff. And so I think RFK is right on that point, yes.
You know, Tim, you talked about sort of the lawfare against President Trump. Are you amazed how much incoming he is taking? And it seems like at every turn, you look at even the New York civil case, he gets whopped with the $454 million judgment. Luckily, that got reduced to still $175 million, which is a lot of money still, but it got reduced. At least it's there. Now he can appeal it. But it is an incredible moment. It's like they are in such a rush to try to do anything they can to have some sort of case. It looks like maybe this criminal case may come up. The so-called hush money case may come up very soon. But who knows? But they're desperate to try to get some case, try to get some conviction, it seems like, from a criminal perspective before the election. They waited all this time. And now suddenly it's like the first time in American history, you're going to go after a former president in a criminal case like he is. And it's this case of all things.
Yeah. I mean, first, I think when you're talking about all these different, all the lawfare stuff and the, what started out as 91 different felony charges, just take a step back and ask yourself, would any of this be happening if Donald Trump were not running for president again? And once you arrive at the obvious answer of no, of course it wouldn't be happening if he weren't running for president again, then that reveals that all of it is strictly political. That's all that it ever was. Even Democrats, if they're being honest with you, would tell you that if he weren't running for president a second time or a third time, really, if he weren't running, they wouldn't have brought all these cases. They're manufacturing it because they can't beat him. They're afraid that the American people will elect him again, and they want to take the, speaking about another threat to democracy, there you have another one. They don't want Americans to have even the option of voting for the candidate of their choice. And we know that there are tens of millions of people who want to vote for Donald Trump. So there's another point for RFK being right about what a threat to democracy Biden is. And it exposes their lawfare for what it is, which is just another assault on democracy. It's election interference.
How big of an issue do you believe border and crime in particular are going to be? I mean, it was interesting. Trump used the expression, it's Biden's border bloodbath. Today, yeah. That seems to be the line. What do you make of that?
Oh, that's just the best, because a couple of weeks ago, the media was all over him because he said that under Biden, there'll be a bloodbath in the car industry. And he was talking about the economy, but the media freaked out and said, oh, he's talking about political violence, which was nonsense. And everybody can see that on his face. So I love the fact that he went back to the word bloodbath and just injected it again, because he knows it'll drive the media nuts. And then they'll have to cover, this is the game he plays, they'll have to cover the issue that he's talking about, which is Biden's border chaos, just the absolute disaster that the border is. It is absolutely the number one issue on voters' minds. I have seen a lot of polling, a lot of public polling, internal polling from different campaigns. It is absolutely the top issue. It is a disaster. Biden took what was a secure border and broke it and ripped it open, and he did it on purpose. He campaigned on doing it. He promised he was going to do the things that he did to the border, and now it's backfired on him, and he wants to try to find someone else to blame. Trump is such an effective communicator. That soundbite that you played at the beginning of this conversation, so good by him. It describes it perfectly. It lays it right at Joe Biden's feet, and you know the Democrats hate it when Donald Trump is able to cut straight to the core issue, and it is crystal clear what his message is and who the target is and who has done something wrong in this. He's such an effective communicator. This is going to be a very, very, very serious issue, and it's one that benefits Donald Trump.
Yeah, I agree. And everybody, we are talking to Tim Murtaugh, who was Trump's 2020 campaign communications director. Tim, you also just came out with a powerful book, Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Also Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. Your life story is amazing. And, you know, I knew you from what you were doing, obviously, on the campaign. But when I hear about your backstory, it is courageous. It's remarkable. I think it's so inspiring. In 4 years' time, you thought you were about to go into prison. You go from there to Air Force One. Explain how you made the transition. That's remarkable.
Well, I mean, thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to talk about this. Yeah, Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. It just came out today, and it's available on Amazon or at Target or Barnes & Noble, anywhere else you get books. And it's about two things, really. One, it's about politics. There are a lot of stories from inside the 2020 campaign that no one's ever heard before outside the campaign. But it's also about my decades-long struggle with alcohol, which I finally did manage to prevail over on May 16th, 2015. That's the date of my last drink. And I woke up in jail that day. I was on probation for my second of two DUIs, and I got arrested for a drunken public charge or something like that. And I knew that I had served 10 days of the second DUI, but I was still on probation for the second one. I had 80 days of my sentence hanging over my head. If I got convicted of that drunken public charge, I was going to go to jail for almost 3 months. And I was going to lose everything. I was going to lose my job on Capitol Hill. I was going to lose my career. Forget
by
about
the way,
the
if it happened in New York, you would have been out in 5 seconds.
Maybe so, yeah. I really want people to read the book, but some people in Alcoholics Anonymous call it the Drunkalogue. So half of the book is about politics, and the other half is my story of how I fought through and finally managed to get sober after decades of drinking. And I'm coming up on 9 years since my last drink. And so it's not a how-to manual of how to get sober. Those things really don't exist. It's just a story of how I managed to make it through. And if people can take some examples from that and relate it to their own lives, and if it helps one person, that's the reason why I wrote it. When I was in rehab multiple times, I would go to the bookstore and I would just devour all the titles that were autobiographical, people telling their stories. And that's what I wanted to write. And if it helps one person, if they pick it up and they flip through it for 5 minutes and don't drink during those 5 minutes, then it was worth writing it. And that's why I did it.
Wow. Bravo. And you have two little boys, right? You also said, you know, wait a minute, I want my family also to not know you as someone who drank. It sounds like your boys will never know that, right? Because they're young.
I have two boys who are 5 and 7, and they have never seen their father take a drink. And their mother, my wife, she saved my life. Without her, I would either be in jail or dead. There's no question of that. And I think I would like for my boys to read this book when they're old enough, you know, in a few years maybe, because I think it's a tale of caution. You know, the alcoholism is hereditary. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who say that they themselves either have had a problem or a close relative or very close friends. I mean, it's almost a universal problem. And this is why, you know, when I talk about Hunter Biden and all of the crimes that I believe that Hunter Biden has committed and the corruption that goes on between him and his father and the whole Biden family, those kinds of things are fair game. And I've been very critical of Hunter Biden, but I've been very careful never to criticize him for the fact that he is an addict, because I understand what he goes through with that. I also understand how it affects the family. And so I do feel for Joe Biden and the rest of the Biden family to have an addict there involved, because, you know, I was that addict doing that to my family. So I get it. I get it.
Wow, what a powerful message. By the way, before I let you go, Tim, what was the most surprising thing? Give us everybody a tease in your book about the Trump campaign, too, of what sort of a fun story, or give us a tease of what maybe one of the most interesting nuggets.
Okay, well, I don't know how fun this story is, but it was a week before Christmas in 2019, and we were at a rally in Battle Creek, Michigan. And while President Trump was up on stage giving his speech back in Washington at the exact same time, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats were impeaching President Trump for the first time. That was the first impeachment. And so that was December 18th of 2019. And I was standing backstage with next to the Vice President, Mike Pence, who was also there at the rally, watching the television while President Trump was impeached by the House, while he was on the other side of the black curtain giving a speech to 8,000 or 9,000 people. And it was just a surreal moment to be there. And the funny part is that at that time, we thought that impeachment was going to be like the defining issue of the whole campaign. We didn't know what COVID was going to be. We didn't know there was going to be a second impeachment. We didn't know all of that stuff. And so, you know, there we were more than a year before Election Day, or quite like 11 months from Election Day. And we thought that was going to be the big moment. And man, by the end of it, no one even talked about that one anymore.
Yeah, isn't it funny that now that's just sort of a little blip? Well, you had a front row seat to history. You work with some of the biggest players in the political business, but you overcame one of the most, I think, extraordinary personal fights. And bravo to you. What a great role model you are to your young boy and also so many other people. Everybody, get this awesome book. You get behind the scenes, of course, of the Trump campaign, and also a remarkably inspiring story of someone who overcame and is a great role model to so many people. It's called Swing Hard In Case You Hit It by the great Tim Murtaugh. Tim, congrats, my friend.
Rita, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'd love to come and join you on the show in the studio one time. That would be great.
Yeah, let us know when you're in New York anytime. That would be great.
Okay.
That's a deal. That's a deal. Congrats on the book, my friend. Thanks so much. And when we come back, everybody, I'll take your calls. 1-800-848-9222. And you're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
It's The Rita Cosby Show. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Well, you just heard from Trump's former 2020 campaign communications director, Tim Murtaugh, of what it's like being there on the front lines and dealing with all the lawfare that President Trump was dealing with. In addition to that, the spin. We're going to talk about in the next hour, the spin coming from the White House. It's incredible because today we heard from Peter Doocy, the Fox News correspondent, who was asking John Kirby and Corinne Jean-Pierre during the press briefing, well, you know, what do you make of, obviously, the fact that the Democrats use the phrase bloodbath? How is it, you know, terrible when Trump is doing it? And also, how can you blame Republicans for the border problem? Boy, you should hear the spin machine go into high gear. It is absolutely incredible. And I hope no American believes it. President Biden could change it in a heartbeat. He just has to do one or two executive actions. He could change it in a second, and he will not do it. And now there are more and more of these cases of migrant crime popping up around the country. One of them in Michigan, which President Trump was talking about today. And it's a really sad case of a woman, Ruby Garcia, who was executed and left for dead on the side of a road by an illegal migrant. And boy, you just think about that. You think about the Lake and Riley case in Georgia. And you think about the fact that we have no idea who is in our country. Even generals who have been supportive of President Biden, a number of them have come out in recent days and said that our wide open southern border is an enormous security risk on so many different levels. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to William, line three. William, your thoughts.
Yes, Rita Cosby, good evening. They're selling America out. Congress is selling America out for the Food and Drug Administration. The second part, we're going to need a UFO to come down here and stretch out his arm because we're heading to World War III.
Wait, a UFO? A UFO? Or do you mean an alien?
Yeah. Exactly, to come and stretch out the hand to send us, because we're heading to oblivion. They're treating American citizens. I was crossing the street at St. John the Baptist Church where I work. I've seen them lined up like they was going to a movie theater, getting ready to get into a hotel. You have veterans. You have me, who pay my taxes as a citizen and a stand-up comedian. I did the best that I can do. But all of these people are treating America like it's it's a third world country.
No, you're right. And it is heartbreaking to see. And I'll give you the line about the UFO, because I do feel like we're on another planet. I mean, I really do. I'm into Area 51. That was wild, too.